thank the Lord for the opportunity to share the Word of God. And as before, the Lord had given me a few words, and I'm going to trust Him to bring forth what He wants. Let's pray. Father, I need Your grace to empower me by Your Holy Spirit to bring forth Your Word to us, Your people, and I ask for that in Jesus' name. Amen. I think I shouted or did something too much this morning because my voice is wanting to go away, but here we go. If you'll turn to Romans 10, 1. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, is the title tonight. Romans 10, 1. We're going to start there. It says, Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. For Moses describeth the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doth these things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is, to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend unto the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is, the word of faith, which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now if you'll turn over to Deuteronomy 30, we're going to find there a very similar passage. Deuteronomy 31, verse 1. And it says, And it shall come to pass, when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse which I have set before thee, that thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations, whether the Lord thy God hath driven thee. And thou shalt return unto the Lord thy God, and thou shalt obey his voice according to all that I command thee this day, thou and thy children, with all thine heart and with all thy soul. Then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity and have compassion upon thee, and will return and gather thee from all the nations, whither the Lord thy God hath scattered thee. And drop down to verse 5. And the Lord thy God will bring thee into the land which thy fathers possessed, and thou shalt possess it. And he will do thee good and multiply thee above thy fathers. And the Lord thy God will circumcise thy heart and the heart of thy seed to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, that thou mayest live. And the Lord thy God will put all these curses upon thine enemies and on them that hate thee, which persecuted thee. And thou shalt return and obey the voice of the Lord and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day. And the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of the cattle, and in the fruit of the land, for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good, as he rejoiced over thy fathers. If thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes, which are written in this book of the law, and if thou turn unto the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, For this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in the heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us, that we may hear it and do it? But the word is nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. And it goes on to say, See, I set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, which always reminds me of Sister Millie. She always used to say that. Okay, going back to Romans 10, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. So the word is here with us. It's in our mouth and it's in our heart that we're able to preach. What do we preach? Well, we're going to figure that out a little bit later. Deuteronomy says, but the word is very nigh unto thee, in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. Do what? What? Do what? Well, it's that they would obey God in loving him with all their heart, with all their soul, with all their mind. We have that new commandment as well, to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, all of our mind, all of our being, every part of us, not holding anything back. We have heard that. Hopefully we are doing that, because we have heard that, and the Spirit has kept telling us over and over. He wants all of us. It's just like I believe it was the first Sunday that I ministered while Pastor and Tony were gone, and I brought those men up and said, you know, I have a candy bar. Do you mind if I unwrap it just a little bit and have a little bite of it, or do you want all of it? Same with an apple. Do you mind if I take a bite of this apple, or do you want all of it? Well, it's the same way with God. He wants all of us, not just part. And so when we keep things hidden down inside of us, And say, basically, like what was said this morning from Michelle, God, you can have access to all of these doors, but don't go in that door. Now, I don't know if you have a junk room or if you have a junk drawer or whatever, but when your company comes, I don't think that's what you want to present to them, is that junk room or that junk drawer. No. Well, let God in that room, because he can make sense and bring everything into existence, that how it needs to be out of confusion. Because confusion, we know, is not of God. That wasn't even in my notes, so I guess you get a little free one there. Okay, so go back to Romans 10, 8 through 10. Says, but what say it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. And I have emphasized, even in thy mouth. Everybody have a mouth in this place? Yes, we have a mouth. What do we do with that mouth? We do a lot of things with that mouth. And in thy heart, that is the word of faith which we preach. What do we preach? This is what we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. That is what we do. That is what we preach. Okay? Now back in Deuteronomy, those people were told what to do in order to obey God, but they didn't have the ability to do that, because they didn't have Jesus. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. Most of them were not able to. And if they sinned, they had to wait a whole year for the priest to take their sins in and offer the sacrifice in order for them to be cleansed. We are not in that mode anymore. We are, hallelujah, we are preaching the word of faith, which is, if you confess with your mouth, believe in your heart, if you know who you're talking to, that you really aren't just saying a bunch of words out, that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Christ has done what he has done, and we ask him to complete the work in us that his purpose was to come to earth, then we shall be saved. Okay, let's go to Psalm 119, 9 through 16. Psalm 119, and I'm going to read verse 9 through 6. Psalm 119, 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? It doesn't mean just young men, people. By taking heed unto thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Key verse, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me your statutes, teach me your ways. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Go back to verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. I learned that as a little girl. And that's been my prayer a lot of times. God, thy word I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Because we can confess with our mouth, believe in our heart, and be saved. But if we sin, sin separates us from God. And so if we hide the word of God in our heart, then that word is going to come forth. And the word also says that, and this is paraphrased, but it says he will bring to our remembrance what we have need of when we have need of it. So if we don't put anything down in here, then there's nothing to be brought up. Actually, it's probably more in here where we learn it, but it goes into our heart, into our spirit. And when we have need in some circumstance, and we have a need, we can call upon that. It's kind of like going into the computer, and what you put into that computer, if you save it somewhere, you may not even be able to find it unless you put in a keyword. And whoop, there it will be. It'll pop right up. It's the same thing with the word of God. Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Because sin and obedience does not gel. It's the opposite. And that is so huge, and it's so key that we obey. Okay, and then another scripture I found that I thought was really good was Psalm 119, 103, so just probably a page over. I can tell you mine's on page 598, if that helps. It says, "How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth." Taste. Just for a second, close your eyes. Everybody, close your eyes. Now, everybody in this room has a definite favorite food, right? Just envision that on a plate before you. Some of you will think of steaks. Some of you will think of some kind of Mexican food, like a really good enchilada or a smothered burrito. Or somebody might even think of some fruit. These kids might be thinking of some candy or whatever. Think about that. Is your mouth watering yet? Is your mouth watering yet? Yeah, you're starving? Oh, my goodness. We better buy him something after church to eat if he's starving. See what happens? Okay, you can open your eyes. We have tasted. We have tasted. What does that mean? Taste is to have a particular taste, to sense the flavor of something that you are eating or drinking, and it seems like we like to eat and drink. A taste is to put a small amount of a food or a drink in your mouth in order to find out what its flavor is. Now, I have a story to tell you. When I was growing up, we moved up to Divide Creek on when I was, I guess, about 11, 10. I think I was actually 10 when we moved up there. And but before that, in the same yard that we lived in Grand Junction, my aunt and uncle lived next door to us. They had actually taken a garage and made it into their home. My grandpa or my uncle Emil was very handy with that kind of work. And so they had a son, and his name was Don Bedard. And he was, a lot of times when growing up, he was my hero. He was a great big old huge athletic guy, and he liked to eat. So here's what would happen. He would eat at his home, whatever that was, I don't know. And then he'd come over to Aunt Peggy's, because he more than likely, he knew Aunt Peggy was going to be cooking probably steak and fried potatoes for his Uncle Walt. That was pretty par at our house for breakfast. And so he'd come over, and my mom always made really good jam. I remember apricot was one of her best, and she a lot of times had biscuits. And so Don would just come over, and he would just chow down. And he was athletic, so he could hold a lot of food. He had tasted of my mom's food. Man, he loved his Aunt Peggy's cooking. Well, one day she said, Don, would you like something? And I wish I could recall what it was, but I can't. And he said, I don't like that, Aunt Peggy. And she said, you don't like that? Well, have you ever tasted it? No. Well, how do you know that you don't like it then? How about that? Well, he tasted it. Guess what? He liked it. We don't know what we don't like if we have never tasted it. Oh, well, our next scripture is Psalm 34:8. Psalm 34:8. And it reads like this. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Now, there's a different definition for this taste. It's to become acquainted with an experience. Can you relate to that? Jesus tasted death because he went through that experience. We've tasted of different things in our life because we have experienced that. We become acquainted with it because we have experienced it. Well, here's one commentary on, O taste and see that the Lord is good. He is essentially, infinitely, perfectly, immutably, and solely good in himself. And he is communicatively and diffusively good to others. He is the author of all good, but not of any evil. In a moral sense, this chiefly regards his special grace and goodness through Christ. All the divine persons of the Godhead are good. The Father is good. He has good designs towards his people, has provided good things for them, us, made good promises to them, us, and bestows good gifts on them, us. The Son is good, the good shepherd that has laid down his life for the sheep. He is the fountain of all grace and goodness to his churches, and in particular to his believers. He has wrought a good work for them, the work of redemption, and he speaks a good work on their behalf. I like this, in the court of heaven. Do you hear that? And he speaks a good word on their behalf in the court of heaven. The Spirit is good. He works good things in the hearts of the sons and of men, and shows good things unto them and gracious souls, such as psalmist here calls upon. O taste and see that the Lord is good. They're capable of tasting and discerning how good the Lord is in some measure. And that measure depends on us, boys. We determine the measure of how much we taste of the Lord. In conversion, a new taste is given so as to have a saving experimental knowledge of the grace and goodness of God in Christ. in application of it to them, and in such manner as to live upon it and be nourished by it. It is but a taste in It is but a taste in comparison of the enjoyment of it in the heavenly state. And every taste now influences and engages trust in the Lord. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, starting with 2, says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles." Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things. That's the Lord. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. Again, the level of measure that we taste the Lord is up to us. What does that really mean? Well, if you're sitting down and there's a whole bowl of mashed potatoes and gravy, and you eat that whole thing, that's your measure. Now, most of us would not do that. Most of us would take a spoonful and take a spoonful of gravy to pour over the mashed potatoes, and that would be our measure, and that would be enough. But someone who really, really, really likes mashed potatoes and gravy may just eat the whole thing, and everybody else sitting around the table, somebody looks like this might have happened. I don't know. They may get left over with the green beans. Some people like green beans, some people don't. Their measure of green beans may be, no, thank you. Do you see what I'm saying? This is determining. It goes back to a lot of what was said this morning. We have got to put ourselves in the place and in the position where we are getting the measure of what we want from the Lord. Because it determines us. If it was up to him, he would pour everything out onto us because he loves us that much. And he wants us to have everything. And again, I really believe that if we don't begin to enter in more, I'm not saying we don't enter in now, but if we don't enter in more and more and receive more of a measure and more of a measure and more of a measure, whether that be in the Word or whether that be in our prayer time, whether that be in our worship time, whatever we're hungry and we're thirsty for, if we pursue that, we're going to get it. He says, ask and it shall be given to you. His word is very plain. He wants to give good things. He wants to satisfy our mouth with good things, just like in Psalm 103. That's God's desire for us. And yet sometimes I think that maybe we might be a little picky. You ever heard of a picky eater? Yeah. Ugh. Why are we having that for dinner? Ugh. I can't take that. Ugh. Oh, my. Sometimes do you think that maybe that's how we treat God? I don't know. That isn't even in my notes either. But if we're just saying, God, I want this. I want to do this. I want to be entertained by this. Later, dude. We might be treating God that way. Because I grant to tell you, time spent with him in his presence and in his word is nothing compared to this over here. And I will tell you that this is going to pass away, but this isn't. Amen. And I still really believe that how we conduct our lives here on earth and what we allow God to do in and through us in this earth is preparing us for what we will do in heaven, where we will be in heaven, and what our service will be, I guess is the way I need to put that. What our service will be to God. I don't know about you. I don't want to be selfish like the disciples and say, who's going to sit by you, Lord? Is it going to be me? Is it going to be me? Huh? I've done this and that and something else. Can it be me? I don't want to be like that. But I can tell you one thing. I want to be as close to the Lord when I get to heaven to be able to worship Him. I want to be pleasing to Him here because I know if I'm pleasing to Him here, I will be pleasing to Him up there. The measure is up to us. I think we need to get like a bigger, like I, you know, I have like a quarter cup, measuring cup. I don't get very much in there. But I have a 4-cup glass with a handle. Oh yeah, I can flat measure something out of that. And I believe that we need to start getting the big measuring cup out and saying, God, I want more. I want to taste more. I want the level of my taste to grow in you and grow in you. Because I don't know if you've noticed this, but what you eat, your body craves. Cookies. What you feed your body craves. I believe that transfers over to our spirit man. What we feed our spirit man craves and wants more and more. Our flesh will go, I want to watch that TV. I want to be on the computer. Oh yes, I may be meddling again tonight. But bless God, it's the truth. Because all of that is nothing. It's entertaining. It feeds our flesh. It makes us feel good. It makes us relax. Oh, most of us can snore in front of the TV. Well, some of us older ones, you kids probably don't relate to that. But see, it's so easy. Because I'm going to tell you one thing. Getting in God's presence and feeding upon His Word, getting up an hour earlier to get into His presence and to get into His Word, I'm going to find out tomorrow morning is going to be work. I don't get up at 5:00 in the morning. That's not me. I can stay up late with the best of them, but getting up early. But I keep hearing in the Word to get up early. Early will I seek you. Early, early, early. And I'm like, my spirit goes, ugh. Early, ugh. It needs to die. I'm just telling you my own personal. I'm going to tell you there's places, there's more of a measure that I need to get, but it's going to cost me something. It doesn't come easy. It doesn't come by sitting or in my chair, covering up with my nice quilt, holding my dog and snoring off. That's not going to get me a bigger measure. It's just not. The amount of taste that I get is based on what I give. Back to Hebrews 6, it says, for it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. And I'm going to switch over here to my... I don't have it. Yes, I'll get it. I want to read it right out of the Word. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put Him to an open shame. Now the first part of that is what I really wanted to key into. If we have been enlightened and we have tasted of the heavenly gift and we have been made partakers of the Holy Ghost and we have tasted the good word of God. Remember, The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. If we have tasted that, if we don't continue on in the faith which we preach, then we can lose that. We don't want to lose that. I told someone one day, you have tasted of the Lord, and you'll never get away from that. And I believe that. God is married to the backslider. So we have to continue to realize that the word is right here. It's nigh. Even in our mouth. It's in our heart too, but tonight it's in our mouth. That's what we're thinking. That's the focus of this. And so my encouragement to you is keep tasting and keep experiencing. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth. Hallelujah.